You are listening to AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca, broadcasting to all of Waterloo Region.
This is the closing of my first medical GoFundMe, Department of Treasury.
So what happened to the funds?
They seized it. $800. Without my meds and without pain meds, I can go in a heart attack.
Those are the words of human rights activist Julian Ickham. Julian is reading from emails sent by GoFundMe and WePay, informing Julian that their crowdfunding campaign to cover the costs of prescription medication are being shut down at the request of the U.S. government.
Here's the GoFundMe page. Click here to support medical funds organized by Louisa W. Dear GoFundMe customer, thank you for using GoFundMe. We are writing to inform you that your campaign has been suspended. That means your campaign link is inactive, can only be viewed by you. Please note, if you do not hear back from us, your account will be removed or refunded. It looks like you have raised funds for a cause that's in connection to a location currently facing U.S. economic sanctions by the Office of Foreign and Assets Control. That's to send me money for my prescription meds. U.S. Department of Treasury, to continue, we will need blah, 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 blah.
Julian is a Kitchener, Ontario-based activist who campaigns for many causes, including Indigenous sovereignty in North America, the rights of poor people, drug users and those with addictions, and in solidarity with international socialist undertakings, including that of the 32-county sovereignty movement in Ireland.
So you also know about my arrest by Homeland Security, right?
On this episode of AWOL Radio, we hear from Julian about their battle with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. Treasury Department, their listing on the U.S. terror list, and the impacts on daily life of living in need of medications that you are not allowed to fundraise for on the Internet. A member of the 32-county sovereignty movement's Montreal chapter, who is working to support Julian along with pushing for a free and united socialist republic in Ireland, is also featured on the show.
In 2014, I was leaving Dublin. As I was leaving Dublin, I found out my plane flies over U.S. airspace. I was arrested. I asked why I was arrested. They said I was in U.S. soil. I said I thought this was Dublin soil. They said, no, the airport is owned by the U.S. I said, well, if you don't want me on this flight, give me my luggage and let me go home. And they asked me for my lawyer's phone number. I gave them my lawyer's phone number. They photocopied it. They said, you're under administrative detention. You don't have a right to a lawyer. They strip searched me, and they started interrogating me. So at this point in time, I realized that, like, any cooperation would be bullshit. So they asked, what is your name? I said, my name is no comment. What is the color of your hair? No comment. And this went on for several hours. They would rip up the paper and start again. They were refusing to allow me to go to the washroom. The quote which they got me is because they believe I'm engaged in terrorist activity, which is my membership in the 32-county sovereignty movement.
INA 212A3BIII, a.k.a. I'm a terrorist, is the blog post from julianickham.wordpress.com. Could you explain what happened with the GoFundMe and the WePay campaigns?
The idea is that I'm on the U.S. terror list. Because I'm on the U.S. terror list, the United States feels that any money donated to me is support for terrorism. This includes money that is for, like, my medical stuff. And the reality of the situation is they're interfering in other ways for me getting my medication. I'm on the narcotics registry list, despite the fact that I don't have a drug abuse problem. I suffer from degenerative disc disease as well as reoccurring perineal and polynidal abscess and sciatic nerve damage and other things. All these medicines, the pain levels have come to the condition where they've created left ventricle hypertrophy, which is an engorgement of the left ventricle by too much blood. Since I was diagnosed with LVH, the state has been doing everything in its power to deny me medicine, from denying me the right to pick up my scripts, to giving information to the police about what meds I pick up when I do pick them up. And the U.S. Department of Treasury is a foreign power. They are actively attacking their own citizens to finance and give information to a foreign power. Now, the other interesting thing is whenever I leave the country, even if it's not an American country or even a socialist country like Cuba or Venezuela, when they run my passport, what comes up is a red flag that says that they have to call Department of Homeland Security. Most of the times this is Air Canada. So this is a Canadian agency contacting a foreign spy agency, telling them where I'm going, who I'm going with, the purpose of my visit, and this sort of thing. Now, in the past, this is what they got me on my first trip to Ireland, which basically says I am part of a terrorist organization. They have reason to believe that I'm engaged in terrorism. The other thing is, like, there's a bunch of different things around this, so that's one of the things.
So using this designation of you on this list, they shut down a social media or a crowdfunding campaign where you're trying to get medication paid for?
Mm-hmm. Medication is very expensive. I also need to take opiates for my pain, and I'm supposed to be taking 30 milligrams Dilaudid a day due to the fact of, like, government targeting. They're giving me 60 a month, which is clearly not enough without my opiates. My pain levels go up, which cause a heart attack. But basically, most of these meds do not get you high. But at the same time, I seem to always have problems with picking them up. And this comes from the fact that I'm on the narcotics registry list. Now, the reason I'm on the narcotics registry list is because during the infiltration for the G20, they wanted to get me cut off of drugs so college could give them to me. At that point in time, I had morals and scruples, which prevented me from doing this. But this has haunted me for a long, long time. When I was in Maplehurst after my mom's death, I was addicted to Oxycontin. But anyone who uses it for a long time has to go through that. I was having medical surgeries, and I was in jail with my back cut open. The guards were refusing to change my bandages or give me any opiates or anything for pain unless I would give information, which I refused to do. My infection was here. I'm being targeted because of my support for Irish Republic. And this is not just something that's happened to me. We've had three visitors from the leadership of the 32 CSM. They were arrested without charge, held in jail, despite the prior charge that the 32 CSM is not a terrorist organization in Canada or Ireland, and they're only a terrorist organization in the U.S. My original arrest was for terrorism. My second charge was for not having enough money to enter the country, despite the fact that people were supporting me from Derry and Strabane, including, like, Councillor Gary Donnelly, who's a city councillor, right? And they wanted me to sign a paper that I had no money, and that's why they weren't allowing me in. I refused to sign this paper, and they wrote that a person refuses to sign. Show you my prison card that I smuggled out. But meanwhile, I'm in there with, like, one of the worst murderers. And I was being threatened with rape. I was being threatened with murder. And the guards were doing nothing. So I was in Clover Hill Detention Center. I was put on the same range with the people that killed the Ryans. This was shortly after Alan Ryan had his throat slit, and I was told that I was a supporter of the Ryans and with the 32 CSM. Now, this attack is not just an attack on myself, it's an attack on the 32 CSM. As I've mentioned earlier, Francis Mackey, Peter Fitzsimmons, and Martin Rafferty came to Canada to visit, and they were arrested and sent to Maplehurst. And it's quite clear that this is what they're doing right now. Is they're trying to squeeze me out medically. They're making it harder and harder for me to pick up my prescriptions. They're making it harder for me to get money for my prescriptions. And by shutting down the GoFundMe page, what they're saying is that to support someone who has no money for prescriptions is to support terrorism. I have not violated any Canadian laws. The 32 CSM is a legal above-ground organization. This criminalization of the 32 CSM needs to be stopped. The Canadian state needs to take a stand in defense of Canadian sovereignty and stop being the puppets of the U.S. I have with me a member of the Montreal branch of the 32 CSM.
The question of state-sponsored torture. The issue for me around the issue of torture is that if Julian does ever, you know, knock on wood, have a medical, like a heart attack or a stroke that is severe enough to actually make them pass away, the state would have this excuse of saying, oh, cause of death, heart attack, cause of death, stroke. But the reality is that it created the conditions for these heart attacks and strokes to happen. And that's why we consider it state-sponsored torture, or if ever Julian was to pass away, it would be state-sponsored murder. And I think that's really important for people to understand. Like, people look at Guantanamo Bay and they say, oh, those Americans, they're so evil. But when you have someone, you know, I don't know if people realize what it's like to see someone they love have to suffer and be completely helpless, and all you can do is just be a witness to that. And that, you know, it's like the prison, you don't need prison walls when the pain is inside, is a disease, right? You don't, the pain is your prison. And so this, and most of these medical conditions also come from state repression, because Julian has been a political activist for a long time. And why is it so important for the Canadian state to target Julian? Why? I think we also have to look at what the political priorities of the Canadian state is. What is Julian's main political activity? Let's take a look. Supporting Irish sovereignty, supporting Indigenous sovereignty, and supporting the most exploited and marginalized people of our society. So what does that say about the state's priorities? When Julian, the way that Julian organizes is actually putting these people in positions where they can speak on behalf of themselves and their own struggles, right? So training people to be able to advocate for themselves after having lived experience, and considering lived experience to be the most valuable kind of knowledge that you can have to speak on issues around poverty. And that's what's dangerous to the Canadian state. Is that the kind of government that we want? You know, one that crushes, that is trying desperately to crush Julian? I don't know if the people in the room understand that we literally have support from the Atlantic Ocean across to the Pacific Ocean. We have supporters, right? And everyone that's, 90% of those that support us are disenfranchised, exploited people that are doing what they can to help Julian survive. And because of that, we have been able to outwit this policy, this essentially like this attempt at Julian's, you know, it's like an illicit attempt at Julian's life by the Canadian government. We've actually managed to defeat their campaign to what we consider murder Julian. And I think that if you look at the base of support, we're looking at an urban Indigenous, you know, an Indigenous on reserve, off reserve. We're looking at drug users. We're looking at people like trans people, people with disabilities. We're looking at women, single moms, workers, you know, elderly, young people. We have support across the board. And it's only through that support that we've actually managed to get this far. So as someone who's taking leadership on the support team to fundraise around medicine, I think that it's really important to note that, like, the Julian is far from alone, and that if the Canadian government does ever succeed in their campaign to try to take Julian out, it will be met with, like, grave consequences, you know, that we know what they're up to. And we ask that you help us expose this horrific tragedy, right? This is like a grave human rights abuse that we're appealing to journalists. And this is, I think, part of the ethics of journalism to expose these kinds of behaviors, because our government should not be engaging in this kind of behavior.
As my friend, your personal experience dealing with the problems I have when I don't have heart medicine or pain medicine.
It's something that I've never had to deal with. I've been pretty lucky in my life, and I've never had to deal with the issues around people who deal with a severe chronic pain. Well, how do you describe it? You feel helpless, even when you're doing your best. It's never enough. You see the toll that it takes on all the, you know, we all strive to have really respectful, healthy relationships despite, you know, these huge burdens that we carry. And it's just taken a toll on all of us. It's really upsetting. Like, I can't describe to you what it's like to have to, you know, Julian's very stoic about pain. And so Julian will just be like, yeah, trying to be polite and trying to be respectful. And you know, I'm trying to engage in conversation. And then I find out that Julian was just being polite, and actually talking makes the pain worse. So there you are. So you're like, okay, what can I do? So you're there, and you're like, okay, well, I can just sit here and witness this. And that's when your heart breaks. But it's hard not to develop this resentment, you know, towards, if you really understand what's going on and you know who's responsible, like, how can I not be resentful when I have to go through these emotions of, and then the anxiety. Like, what happened once was I thought I lost some medicine, and I basically had a panic attack and started crying, like, uncontrollably. Then I was alone, and then I found the medicine, and it was like this huge wave of relief. And then I found Julian, and I was like, no, I didn't lose it, I have it. And then it was like, okay. Julian's like, don't worry, even if you would have lost, it would have been okay, we would have found a way. And I was just like, I'm so sorry, I've just misplaced it. And so we're walking together, and I start crying again. I started crying, and Julian was like, we gotta go back. And I was just like, I actually had to stop, and I couldn't hold back the tears, because just having to go through that kind of like range of emotions in such a short amount of time is like exhausting, and it's really difficult to kind of like leave any kind of normal life, have normal relationships. And you just try to carry on, because you don't want the medical condition to take over your life either. You know, you try to have fun despite this stuff, but it's been challenging, you know?
So we would call on everyone to call the U.S. Department of Treasury, contact Bardish Chagger, and contact the Justin Trudeau's office. Resistance is not terrorism. I'd like to also mention that as we speak, there are many Irish Republican prisoners in jail. We have Tony Taylor, who is being held without trial simply because of his politics. We have the Craig Gavin too, which is a clear miscase of justice. We have Christine Connor. We have others. It's only a matter until people like me end up on that list, and people like me end up being held without trial. We need to take a stand now in defense of Irish sovereignty, to take a stand against U.S. imposing its will on the people of this territory.
As our time with Julian wrapped up, they explained their stressful daily struggle to access necessary medication, noting that without this medication, they risk death. Julian notes that this is an act of torture, and that they are being specifically targeted because of their affiliation with the political organization, the 32-County Sovereignty Movement, and the Republican politics.
It sounds like you have a pretty strong support network that is supporting you through these struggles. And I recognize that you're putting the focus on the 32-County Sovereignty Movement, but how will you continue to get through this day-to-day and this struggle?
I don't know. It's hard. I have no money. My medicines cost hundreds of thousands of dollars over time. Every day I wake up, I need to figure out a new way to get money to pay for my medicines. And if I go without them, I die. And it's kind of like I sympathize with addicts nowadays, because like it's hard work to struggle to get one type of medication. But the issue with me is I don't want to withdraw. I can die. I don't know if I'm going to have my heart medicine. I don't know if the government or the Shoppers Drug Mart is going to give me any hassle. I spend most of the time running around trying to find money for a medicine. One of the medicines I have to take is actually also used for ED. What it does is it gives oxygen to your whole blood and oxygen to your heart, and it's $40 for a tablet. These tablets here are $800, and most of these are not covered by welfare. It's cheaper to buy drugs off the street. Except no one would have these drugs on the street because they don't get you high and that sort of thing. And it's scary. In July, I became physically dependent on opiates. I quit in June. I quit in July. Withdrawal was only a week. In August, I had my first heart attack. Since then, I've had about 15 heart attacks. From August to November, when I was off the opiates because I was a stubborn, I had about 10 heart attacks and several strokes. Since I've gotten on the opiates, it's changed. But it's like every day I have to wake up, try to convince a pharmacy to get my meds. If not, try to find a way. Because I have left ventricle hypertrophy, and that's a result of the pain levels. And the pain levels is because I have untreated pain. And so for me, not getting an opiate isn't just going into withdrawal. I risk dying. For me, not getting my beta blockers isn't just whatever. I risk dying, like a heart attack. Everyone seems to think like, oh, it's fine, Julian has heart attacks, that's what they do. But no, it's really fucking scary. Especially like when you wake up at night, you can't feel your face, you can't fucking breathe, you think you're dying. It's the most scariest experience ever. And it's a form of torture. I'm being targeted specifically because of my affiliation with the 32CSM. I'm being officially targeted because of my Republican views. And the reality isn't just to focus on me. The reality is that 32CSM is not a terrorist organization. It's a political organization with political goals, aims, and objectives. And the reason the U.S. put the 32 County Sovereignty Movement on the list is because when the U.N. document was pushed forward, it was done in New York. And when that was done, the U.S. and Britain didn't want this to go forward. And so they put the 32CSM on the terrorist list. 32CSM is not the real IRA. The real IRA is a military organization. The 32CSM is a legitimate political expression of the Irish people's will to sovereignty. Here in Canada, we think it's really important to push these principles of republicanism where we can all get along and where like decisions are run collectively. The fact that I'm being criminalized and being denied access to my medicine is torture. No other word for it, it's torture. State terrorism is a way of them being able to kill me without saying that they can kill me. So the key issue here is we need to remove the 32CSM from the U.S. terrorist. The second thing is we need to push for Canadian sovereignty. The Canadian state needs to take a stand in defense of its own citizens. When I leave the country, they give my information to whatever country I'm leaving, to Homeland Security. Why is a Canadian state giving information on a Canadian national or nation? The question is Canada a puppet state or is Canada like a sovereign state? If Canada's a sovereign state, why does it allow the U.S. to impose its laws here? Why was Francis Mackey, Peter Fitzsimmons, and Martin Rafferty thrown in jail for visiting Canada? Right? They were not in violation of any Canadian law. Why am I being denied access to medicine? Why are my GoFundMe pages getting shut down? Why is all of this happening? And it's happening because I am an ardent Republican. It's happening because I believe in a 32-county socialist republic. And they think that they can make an example out of me. Well, if they want to make an example out of me, the example they're going to get is not an example of cowardice and submission, but an example of resistance.
You have been listening to AWOL Radio and our episode on the ongoing political persecution of human rights activist Julian Ickham here in the colonial state of Canada. For more information on Julian, visit julianickham.wordpress.com. That is JULIANICHIM. .wordpress.com. And for more AWOL Radio, visit grandrivermc.ca. This has been your host, Dan Keller. Thanks for listening.